We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Subscribers to NewOrleans.football get access to our live broadcast of the show three times a week. You'll get it about 5 hours earlier before everyone else. So make sure you are signed up to the site. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. You also get access to all of our news, analysis, an extra members-only podcast, and so much more every single week. So make sure you take care of that today. NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans Style Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We are coming to you from our studio right next door to Matt Bowers Ford dealership. If you are in the market for a new car, make sure you check out one of his many dealerships throughout the region. He's got all kinds of different brands, but the consistent thing through each one of them is the customer service and the great pricing. You'll find that at any Bowers dealership, so make sure you check him out if you are in the market for a new vehicle. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to go through the roster, tell you where the Saints got better, where they got worse, and so much more. Stick with us right after this break. The New Orleans Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. This Mother's Day, surprise her with dazzling diamond studs for under $500 at Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Or you can elevate her style with an elegant emerald or ruby diamond band at $1,250. You want something more modern? They also have stunning diamond paperclip necklaces, too. Visit Friend & Company Fine Jewelers Uptown at 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett. Call 504-866-5433 and shop online at friendandcompany.com. Shop for mom at Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Ponchatoula strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get into the show. And we are now live on NewOrleans.football. So if you are not signed up for the site, make sure you sign up today and you can be part of every live recording. Watch it, get it about 5 hours before everybody else. All right, it's time for the lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. It is Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, May 12th. And if you haven't gotten your mother that special something, make sure you swing by Friend and Company and get her that very special gift. Shown on the screen right now is an emerald and ruby band that is priced at $1,250 and studs that are priced under $500. That's a steal for that beautiful piece of jewelry that you're seeing right now. Go there today and tell them that the staff of NOF sent you.
All right, Mike, lead topic. Where have the Saints gotten better and where have the Saints gotten worse? This idea was sparked actually from a mailbag submission from Nero Monster, who asked if the Saints' roster had gotten better or worse from last year, taking out the coaches and injuries in the equation. We thought we would take a step further and go through position by position to kind of see where they've gotten better and worse. So let's start with the quarterbacks.
Well, quarterbacks, I mean, I guess he... I don't know if stayed the same counts, because you lose Jameis Winston and you add Spencer Rattler, Nathan Peterman, and Kellen Mond. I'm more excited about Spencer Rattler, and obviously Jake Haener is backing up Derek Carr here. I'm more excited about Spencer Rattler just because of the unknown, the long-term potential. I think the position added intrigue, but if Derek Carr gets hurt in the first quarter of week one and somebody's coming in, they probably have gotten worse than when Jameis Winston would have stayed. I mean, for the most part, though, they stayed the same. I mean, we think the advancements here are going to come with the addition of Clint Kubiak, with, you know, the new offensive system, the new ideas they have, maybe improved play on the offensive line, yet to be determined. But that is supposed to be taken out of this equation. So just roster's talent, I'm going to try to do a cop-out and say they basically stayed the same. I guess technically they got worse, but they traded in a more known quantity in Jameis Winston for a younger, exciting, long-term possibility.
I'm sure this answer is going to piss some people off, but I feel like their quarterback situation is in a better place than it was a year ago, because Jameis came into a couple games last year and they didn't win them. And like, they aren't in a place where the backup quarterback, I think, matters that much as far as keeping your season afloat. If you told me I could trade in Jameis Winston for two lottery tickets with, you know, Rattler and Jake Haener, I would probably go with the younger guys, given where their team is at right now. Now, if they were a Super Bowl contender, I would rather have Jameis Winston on the team. But given where they're at, like, I think Jameis is better for Cleveland's situation than Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener would be, because if Deshaun Watson goes down, Jameis might be able to keep their season afloat. I don't think the Saints roster is strong enough for like a backup to come in and keep it afloat. And I don't think I think you just let it sink. If they go down, let it sink. If one of these young guys saves it, he saves it. But for practical purposes, I like their quarterback room better right now than I did a year ago, just because of the DNA of this very specific situation.
Well, they also save money, which, you know, it's a lot cheaper to have the rookies than Jameis Winston. But I guess if we're supposed to attack this question like we're Vegas and we're putting an over-under on this team, that win-loss totals, I mean, likelihood of winning games if these guys play might have taken a little dip, you know. But we don't even know that for sure, because as you said, Jameis Winston has done good things for the Saints in the past. That was not last year.
Yeah, he's done good things when he started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hit the receivers.
This is one where I guess you have to say worse because Michael Thomas is gone now. But again, if we're talking what did Michael Thomas actually do for this team last year, he wasn't around long enough to make a big impact. But Cedric Wilson, Equanimeous St. Brown, Stanley Morgan, the rookies, Bub Means, the return specialist, Jermaine Jackson, none of those guys is anywhere near what Michael Thomas was, even in the handful of games that he played healthy. So I don't think they took a big hit here, but they're worse.
Yeah, I think they're worse. I mean, they didn't replace the Mike Thomas level player right out of the gate. I mean, I think they're fine overall. I mean, I don't think it's a significant drop off, like, just because Mike's been hurting that in the past. So I don't think it necessarily changes the trajectory of the season or whatever, because I don't think that you can project 16, 17 games for Mike at this point, just being fair to the situation. So they got worse, but their depth might be better. I'd rather have I'd rather have Cedric Wilson than Lynn Bowden or Keith Kirkwood. I'd probably rather have the I don't know, St. Brown kind of feels like there might be something there. There might not be, but I like the unknown versus, you know, the known with the other guys. Even if they end up being the same, you can lie to yourself in May and say, hey, maybe St. Brown could be someone. Like, so I kind of like that part of it better. But yeah, I think losing Mike and not adding a Mike level player makes you worse at the position.
Although counter argument, I think we're going to get to some positions later where we're just talking about the current players are getting worse because they're getting older. This is a very young position where Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and A.T. Perry should all have their arrows pointing up. Like, just playing their age and development should make them better too. So we'll say worse because Michael Thomas is gone. They didn't replace him, but everything else about this position, the trajectory should improve. Definitely better than the second half of last season when Thomas wasn't a part of it.
Now let's go to tight end where they've only added one person, but they only lost one person. I mean, I'm sorry, let's go to fullback.
This is running back and fullback combined. So, I mean, the answer is they stayed the same. They've got Alvin Kamara, they've got Kendre Miller, they've got Jamal Williams, and they've got Adam Prentice. They added Xander Horvath to compete with Adam Prentice. They didn't draft a running back. Alvin Kamara is a year older. Jamal Williams is a year older. Technically, I think just age and the history of that position, they should take a step back, but Kendre Miller should definitely take a step up. Again, we're taking coaching out of the equation. I think all these guys are going to perform better, but I mean, they just very literally stayed the same at running back, I think.
I actually, like, Horvath is one of my favorite signings of offseason. Right. I like it. Yeah. He fits the profile of what they like in the fullback, this type of offense. He's got a lot of receiving ability. He's got some ball-carrying ability. I feel like he's somebody that might be able to move around a little bit. He feels hand-picked by the coaching staff. I like him. I like the addition of him. I don't know. I might be talking myself into something that isn't there, but I feel like he's going to give you more out of that position. If they get more out of that position, I think it's good for the scheme.
Scheme aside, it's impossible to take scheme aside, but, I mean, do you feel that group? What do you think of the arrow? I mean, obviously we expect so much more from Kendre Miller. Do you expect no drop-off from Alvin Kamara compared to last year, which was the lowest yards per carry of his career because the running game was so bad? Or do you expect slight drop-off for Alvin Kamara? Where are you on that?
I feel okay about Alvin. I don't think there's going to be much. If they block a little bit better and they build the run game better, even if he falls back a little, I think it's probably a wash. I expect him to kind of be the same. I feel like maybe you get more games out of him this year because he had the suspension last year. If Kendre's healthy, I don't think Jamal Williams can be any worse than he was last year. So I'm going to say slight up.
Okay.
Sticking with the running back, E. Flint in the chat said, do you think Kubiak's scheme can get Alvin Kamara back on track for the Hall of Fame?
No, I think that ship has sailed. I mean, it's been too long. I mean, they lost it after 20. You know, I think there was a chance. I think, you know, there was an injury plague season in there. 20, I think, was the best he had ever been. And then I feel like just the gross misuse of him after 20 kind of took him out of that conversation. So I don't see it for him. I mean, I would have bet that it was probably guaranteed for him and Mike at one point, and I don't think either one of them are going to end up there. Ramczyk, too. I thought Ramczyk had the best shot out of all of them. I don't think he's going to get there either. I mean, I think that's clear. Yeah, I think it's gone for all of them.
Yeah, he's at 10,000 career all-purpose yards. His rushing career yards is only 5,800. Touchdowns are really nice. He could still get to – what is he at? I mean, he would need some special seasons, yeah. It's just the longevity. I think he could have another bounce-back season, but can he have four more? That's the tough part.
Yeah. They didn't get it done with him the way it needed to get done, and it's too bad because he was kind of one of the names of the league, one of the faces of the league. I think he had everything going for him.
All those historical things every week we'd say, he's the first since Gale Sayers to do this, you know, like, and yeah, I mean, the trajectory really took a hit the last couple of years.
Yeah, let's roll to tight end now. We got Dallin Hooker, and then we lost Jimmy Graham.
I mean, technically, I'm going to say they got worse because they lost Jimmy Graham, but he was so unused, barely a part of the team last year, it's really stayed the same.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I don't think the needle's really moved at all on this one.
Let's go to offensive line.
Here's a worse, but Nick made the point that if Fuaga is really good, then he could outplay what Ryan Ramczyk looked like when he was playing hurt most of the season. Ryan Ramczyk said his knee started bothering him in week one, even though he had a really good off season. James Hurst obviously retired. He didn't have his strongest year last year, but Andres Pete, I think, played really well. He's not back. So, you know, even if Fuaga performs at the level of Ramczyk, I still think they got worse. I mean, this is the position on the roster where they got the most worst, I think.
So here's the thing. I started looking at this after our last show, and I'm going to write this at some point, but if you really kind of go and you look around the league, like there are only, most teams really only have three good, like a good offensive line. Most teams only have three good offensive linemen, and then there's kind of like two guys that are on there that are kind of average, below average, or kind of hidden by the scheme. Like, is it possible for the Saints to get to that number three with some combination of players? And you know, I think it is. I think you're asking Cesar Ruiz to do a decent amount of lifting on that. But I mean, you know, if you go Fuaga's one of them, if Ruiz is one of them, if Eric McCoy is one of them, I mean, there's a way that this offensive line can be okay. But I think, no doubt about it, I mean, they got worse to some level. Until we see evidence of these guys playing and maintaining the level, I don't know what Uli Udo is going to be. I don't know if he's the Andrus Pete replacement. I don't know if Fuaga's the Ryan Ramczyk replacement. I don't know who the James Hurst swingman replacement is. I don't know if Trevor Penning's going to be anything. I mean, so until we see those things, I think you have to veer towards worse. But there is a reality where they could be okay. Like, they might find a way to be okay, but they might not too. So it's just so much up in the air. But today, as you say it, like, objectively, there is no way to say this arrow is pointing any other direction but down.
I agree with your point that the level Ramczyk played at last year is not irreplaceable, and Andrus Pete last year is not irreplaceable, and James Hurst last year is certainly not irreplaceable. But even if you replace those three guys, their offensive line was lousy last year. They were, as we said the other day, they were 31st in the league in yards per rush. Early in the season, they were not protecting Derek Carwell. So just replacing those three guys gets you back to lousy, you know? So replacing them and then going even further and upgrading is going to be really, really difficult.
Eric Marcus 24 and Josh, he both kind of had a similar question in the chat. They said, basically, does Fuaga getting Pete 75 close the door on the return? I mean, that's kind of superficial, but you guys can go ahead and analyze it.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't
even
think
about
that.
I mean, a little bit. I think Pete just not being on the team at this point probably is starting to close the door. Now, July, if he's still unsigned and there's no money on the table, could they bring him back? You know, I think it's just probably waiting it out to a point to see where the price is. I think if the price gets low enough, there's definitely a pause. I think it should be mutually interested at a certain point. But it feels like they've moved on from him. It really does.
That might seem trivial, but that's definitely a signal that they don't already have the handshake June 1st agreement in place.
Yeah.
If they had already sort of like under the table agreed, hey, you're coming back June 1st, they would have saved his number for him.
Yeah.
You'll never know, because even like Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys, he came back and he switched all the way to his college number. So maybe it's time for
a slam shot.
Yeah, but he had been left. Gone. Yeah, he had been gone. Like they had already moved on. Like they haven't, like Pete could still, you know, theoretically have a locker in the locker room. Like sometimes that stuff kind of happens where it's like if it's still up in the air, they won't like absolutely move on. But this is a sign that they, for now, have absolutely moved on.
Okay. Quick timeout before we go on to defense. We said offensive line worse. We said slight worse for wide receiver. We said about even, maybe better for quarterback, running back, maybe slight worse tight end. A lot of it was slight, except for offensive line. But in general, there's no position we said on the offense where they got better. So we have to give the offense, the talent on the offense took a hit this offseason. They have less talent to work with. They have a couple young guys we're very excited about taking this step forward, but they didn't really add upgrades.
You know what, though? Overall, though, I feel better about the offense than I did. I do.
More bang for the buck.
Yeah.
I feel better. I like about having the young guys that are going to get opportunities.
And I like the coaching. I mean, I think you could say that they've lost talent, but I think they'll make better use of the talent they have. So I think the offense is going to be better than it was a year ago.
I don't know how it couldn't be.
Let's roll to the defense. We got defensive end Chase Young. He was at it during the offseason.
It's crazy. The defensive line, we listed offensive line as one and defensive line as almost 1A. That is the only difference at defensive end. But it's a good one. It was their marquee free agent signing, so they got better.
Yeah, so
Cam Jordan is going to probably take a further step back, and maybe Tano Passanio will take a step back too. But I still say better.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird when I look at the team. I don't even consider Chase Young as part of it
because like, he's such an unknown.
Yeah, when you're looking at the talent equation, because he has like this injury and stuff, it's weird. Like I have this thing in my head where it's just like I discount him to like nothing, and he might be a huge part of this team this year. It's just The whole way it came in, it was just kind of like, I don't know if you're following like the Drake Kendrick beef, but it was like they got Chase Young, and that was like Family Matters dropping, and then like the injury was like Meet the Grams, and it was just like it took all the excitement out of it.
Yeah.
And this should be a good signing for the team. You know, and if Chase Young can show up and, you know, do his thing, like it could be huge for them. But the whole momentum, like out of the rollout, like was just evaporated because of the way it was just like, oh, they got this guy, and like everybody felt great about it, and then bang, he's out of here.
Right.
No, you're exactly right. Like this should be a major win. They kept everybody and added Chase Young. This should be like they got way better, but instead we're like, maybe their defensive line got better. There's just maybes all across the board. We don't know what they're still going to get out of Cam Jordan. We don't know if they're going to get anything out of Peyton Turner, Isaiah Foskey. Does Granderson have another step to take forward when he showed like he was going to do that at the beginning of the last year and then leveled off a little bit? And Tano Passanio. I mean, I do like that they have all those names I just listed there, but are they going to improve what has been a declining position? I don't know.
I'll say better.
Yeah.
I'll say better.
Yeah. Without question, if we're just basing it on personnel, no question.
Yeah. Definitely got to hope Chase Young doesn't get hit with like a cease and desist from playing and then he recovers. Let's go to defensive tackle where you added Christian Boyd, but you lost Malcolm Roach.
Yeah, you know, I think Roach is like low key a little bit of a loss for the team, but I think overall they'll probably look. I'll say they'll get better because I think Brian Brzee is going to be better in year two than he was in year one. So
sure.
I think that uptick's a little bit better. I don't know how much you're counting on Christian Boyd immediately this season. So I mean, that is a little bit of a hit there. So it's kind of like an equal sign to me, but I'll say a slight improvement.
Oh, I would say slight worse, but I mean, I agree with you. Like losing Malcolm Roach is kind of, you know, similar to some of the losses we talked about. But I mean, it, even more than losing Jimmy Graham, I think. But even if you want to put it on that category, I mean, they didn't replace him with someone better. But yeah, I do agree. Brzee's arrow should be pointing up. Shepard, Saunders, arrows pointing equal. I'm not necessarily more optimistic about those guys, but you know, Malcolm Roach is gone and no one else is a proven run stuffer yet, so I'll say slightly worse.
Nathan Shepard is the one dude on the team nobody talks about. And he kind of got less hype than his counterpoint last year, and I think he had a better season. I think he's a better player. I think he's solid. He was a solid addition. I think he just somehow he kind of like just his he was just it's like he doesn't exist, but like he's a solid player for the team.
Well,
someone needed to say it. That's it. That's it.
Colin Saunders, Colin Saunders and Nathan Shepard. Like, if we had to rank most in the public eye and least in the public eye, Saunders is one and Shepard is 53 on their roster.
No doubt about it. And Saunders had like the fun offensive role and all that. So I get it. But I think Nathan Shepard is.
He's a ghostwriter with hits.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go to linebacker where you have a contender for a starter and Willie Gay. You got Kalik Hudson, Jalen Ford, but you lost Zach Bond.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the easiest better we've had yet. Well, D end was an easy better because they added Chase Young, but Willie Gay Jr. for Zach Bond alone, I think, was a slight upgrade.
Oh, I think it's a massive upgrade.
Right, but I mean, okay, definite upgrade, but like you lost one guy and you got a guy who should be better, but then you add in the fact that they add veteran depth in Hudson and an intriguing draft pick in Ford, it becomes a runaway better. Yeah,
like Zach Bond plugging a hole like in this just he was like the guy that showed up with like a sip of Dasani in a desert last year. Like everybody just kind of hypes him so much because he gave him a little bit of pass rush.
Yeah,
but like that guy, come on, man. Like no. Like he's not a big loss. It's just a guy that was a bad draft pick, didn't give him nothing, gave him a little bit for a couple games, and I mean no disrespect, but like he's just become this like talking point, and I'm not with it.
I do agree with you. I think it's an upgrade too, but I've been told by the internet that the Eagles, everything they do is genius. They paid Zach Bond more money than the Saints paid Willie Gay.
they use a scheme that where I think he'll be better utilized. So he might go there and be great, but like being here, like there just wasn't a fit in their scheme. And Zach Bond isn't a scheme changer. It isn't like you have to find a way to like, how do we use this guy? Like, no, he's not that. Like if you had ended up with, you know, I don't know, some other guy that's a great 3-4 outside linebacker, Micah Parsons or something. It's just like, you might change up some of the stuff you do to like suit a Micah Parsons type player. You might change up the coverage you play to make like prime Stephon Gilmore a better part of your defense. Like Zach Bond isn't a guy that you switch up, but he does fit the profile of pass rusher they get something out of. So Yeah, I expect them to go there. I expect them to be good. I expect the internet to say that the Saints were idiots for letting him go. But whatever he does in Philadelphia was not going to happen here.
Yeah. Let's hit cornerback who, I mean, it's hard to say that this isn't a just complete ad.
Massive upgrade.
Yeah, no question. I mean, big mystery on whether Marshon Lattimore is going to be a part of the team. If he ends up in the losses column, then we revisit this. But Mickey Loomis again said the other day that the two are not related and he is not actively trading Marshon Lattimore, which even though that feels like a code word or something, I believe him. I mean, I think the Saints are just as they've always been, willing to consider, but not actively, like they haven't already decided he's gone. So if all we're doing is adding McKinstry and losing Yadam, this is the big upgrade.
Yes, as of today, no doubt about it. It's an upgrade, but definitely a tenuous situation.
And now let's hook to safety, where I think availability kind of was a problem with the people that we lost, but, you know, we added Will Harris. I mean, the Saints added Will Harris.
Yeah, I mean, this is a negative. I don't disagree with their decisions financially to move on from Marcus May, who was due a lot of money, and Lonnie Johnson Jr., who got a slight bit more than the Saints were going to pay him. And, you know, Will Harris could add some depth. But, I mean, just looking at the names on the list, they took a hit. And their depth took a hit, and there's question marks at this position for me.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I think it's definitely a little bit of a step back. I mean, yeah, I don't really have anything to add to what you said. I think you nailed it. I mean, I think that it's a little bit of a hit, and there's still some questions to answer.
All right, now let's go to the specialist. The Saints added,
rolling back though, financially though, like,
yeah. Bang for the buck.
When you figure in dollars and everything, I would rather they spend their dollars somewhere else than there.
They didn't lose. There's nobody in a loss column outside of Ryan Ramczyk, and that's injury related, and it's an injury question mark. But there's nobody in the loss column that I disagree with the financial decision the Saints made this offseason.
I agree.
Not one.
Connor Nunn in the chat asks, can the Saints defense carry this team in 24? If Kubiak doesn't call 40% play action, will Nick pummel him?
Can the defense carry this team in 24? Carry is strong because I don't know what they're going to be in the front, but if they maintain the roster they have now, secondary with the cornerbacks they have, even with the loss at safety, I think the secondary should be borderline elite. There's no excuse for it. The level of talent at cornerback, I'm going to have to look at the rest of the league, but I would be surprised if the Saints aren't in the top five in that conversation. And, they, you know, 1-4, they might be number one. Like, they have a really good room. And, again, I don't know the whole league, so that might be, like, overstating things slightly. So that group should be really good. I think the linebackers should be really good. It's just that defensive line. But 40% play action. I mean, look, if that number is low, like it's going to be like being sold, you know, it's, you know, some snake oil straight up. Like if that number isn't high, like we've been sold a lie. And unless he takes the Shanahan thing where they get the play action looks without actually doing play action. Like if there's a way to manipulate that and bring that in and still get the same effect without your quarterback having to turn his back, which is what they were doing in San Fran last year. Great. But if there isn't a high percentage of play action type effect to the offense, I will be absolutely just flabbergasted.
They better make the run game work too, to help make the play action be more effective and just to help make this team go. I mean, but that is absolutely the number one goal of this team. No question. And you mentioned the defensive line being the only question mark. I agree the secondary got better. Safety is a question mark on the defense too. But all in all, if we're summing up the defense got better. Got better in three spots and only definitely got worse in one spot.
Now let's go to the specialist. The Saints added Charlie Smith and punter Matthew Haybaugh.
It's competition for the guys from last year. And since they lost nobody, it can only get better.
Yeah. Throw Jermaine Jackson on that
right.
list too.
Right, I put him on the returner. Receiver, but yeah, as a returner.
Yeah, he's somebody that should figure into this mix. Kool-Aid is a punt returner. That's somebody else that's figuring into the mix. So some competition there. Yeah, look, Darren Rizzi being the guy that birthed the kickoff role, like that has to be a huge plus for special teams. Like he's had a little bit of leeway thinking about how things are going to look over the rest of the league. That has to be an advantage, at least just being in there and knowing the ins and out of it as the architect. So yeah, I think this is one where the arrow's pointing up, and then just year two for your kicker. Like I think that's an arrow pointing up for him too. So I think it's I think they're in a good position right now.
Let's go with Nick on just the overall. What would you give him? Better or worse?
Roster.
I mean, I think losing, I you know, until we see the stuff on the offensive line, I can't necessarily say it's better. But if you gave me the option of like trading out Fuaga for Ramczyk, who looked like he was on his last legs last year when he was playing, I actually kind of like that. It just kind of feels like you needed one more guy there. But it's almost possible that maybe like Ole Udo is that guy and we just kind of underrate him because he doesn't have a ton of stuff. So until we lay eyes on these people, it's kind of hard to say. It just kind of feels like the same to me overall. I don't know that they necessarily got a lot better or a lot worse. Free agency, it kind of feels like a wash. And then you have what looks like a decent draft class. It's kind of a push to me. Like Mike Thomas was hurt. That feels like a big loss, but it's just kind of, it just wasn't working anymore. So that kind of washes that one out. So I'm going to say it just kind of feels, it feels even to me. It feels like kind of like in the same place. And I think that's probably where it should be. I don't think it should be too much forward because that means they're doing too much for a roster that just doesn't have the pieces to get to where it should go.
I agree that it's kind of a wash also on age. I mean, I think Cameron Jordan, Demario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Alvin Kamara, I think those guys are going to continue to be on the backside of their careers a little bit, but then I think you counteract that with some young players, Kendre Miller, A.T. Perry, Jordan Howden, possibly, who could get a bump in year two, Brian Brzee. So that's probably a wash. Additions versus subtractions. It all comes down to that offensive line. But if Marshawn Lattimore and Chase Young are playing for this team in September, I think they've got a more talented team than they had last year.
Interesting. Yeah, I could agree with that. Yeah. Yep.
Now it's time for our next segment presented by Jue Productions. Last week, we did some over-unders talking about who will catch the most touchdown passes for the Saints. Now let's do the rushing yards. Do we expect the torch to be passed from Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill to Kendre Miller? Let's start with the over and under on Alvin Kamara, 800 yards.
Ah, man, it's such a number. 800 yards on Alvin. Are we talking total yards or rushing yards?
Rushing. This is all rushing.
I'm taking the under. I got the under on
it. Let
me
give you a little history on his rushing yards. So he only had 694 last year in 13 games. So let's call it 713 games. Year before that, 897. Year before that, 898. They were using him a lot those years, though. 223 carries, 240 carries last year is down to 180 carries. But 932 the year before that, 797 the year before it, 883. Last year was the only year he didn't reach 800. I mean, based on games played, it's hard. If he gets to that like 15 games, 14 games, it's hard to think he won't unless they just stop using him as much. I mean, it really depends on, you know, if he had played 15 games last year, it got to 800, and it wasn't a very pretty 800 last year. So I think that's the right number to set it at. But yeah, if we're expecting the volume to increase somewhere for Kendre Miller, it's probably going to be a more is less plan for Alvin Kamara. I would take the under on 800 because there's so many ways he could go under, injury or just like less touches. But that is where the number should be set at, I think.
I'm going to say under, but I think like his yardage total, like I think he's going to have more receiving yards next year than he's had in 4 years. You know, it's 439, 490, 466. Like I expect that number to go up. And maybe the rushing numbers to go down a little bit while Kendre takes over some of the rushing and you get him in some more advantageous situations. So I could see it going that way. But yeah, I mean, I think that the idea is for Kendre Miller to take over a little bit in some of those areas. But I mean, man, the way San Francisco got Christian McCaffrey going last year is, you know, it was kind of unbelievable. You know, he had his best season ever. Maybe, you know, Alvin being in, practically speaking, he has 2 years left on his contract. Practically speaking, he's in the final year of his contract. I could see him just not caring and just going for it and just pushing it and just kind of, you know, like whatever, like we're going to use Alvin and, you know, he's 29 now. I could see that and see those numbers going sky high. And that wouldn't be a terrible thing for Alvin if he, you know, he does a pretty good job of staying healthy. That could let him hit the market at kind of a place where he could cash out a little bit more too. But you know, I think the idea is for Kendre to kind of take over some of that a little bit more, and I could see his, again, his receiving numbers going up.
Let's go to the heir apparent and Kendre Miller over under 450.
Oh, I'm taking the over. Way over. If he's healthy, I mean, you know, the only way to get to the under on that is just assuming a incredibly injured season.
Yeah, here's my problem, though. Let's go to the team real quick. Last year, 1742 total. That's terrible. Like, it's got to go way up. But even the 2 years before that, 1982, 1991, very consistent. They haven't hit 2,000 in a long time. So Kamara, 800, Miller, 450, Hill, 400, Williams, 350. That's 2,000 right there, and that doesn't even include the 200 extra yards for Shaheed, Carr, whatever. So, like, if you're going over 800 for Kamara and way over 450 for Miller, like, there's like nothing left for anyone else.
I took the under, but I mean
Kamara, but yeah. Like, do you expect the team to get way more rushing yards?
I think that you take the yards in that case. You're taking the yards away from Jamal. I think you're taking yards away from Alvin. I think you're taking yards away from Taysom, because if this third round pick is not your lead running back, you wasted the pick. Like, that isn't where they want it to be. Like, I understand that a lot of these people have like names and they've been here for a while, but like, this is the new name and this is the guy that's going to be here for a while, and they aren't going to be here for a while, and this is the guy that you want to take over. So I don't think you're trying to force him to take things from people. I think you want to give it to him, and it's up to him whether he holds it or loses it. And if he's on the field and he's performing well, I think he's going to hold on to it. So I don't think he needs to earn anything, so to speak. I think you want to give it to him. It's like you're dangling the key and you're like, hey, man, just take it. Like, this house is yours. Yeah. And he just has to take it and walk through the door.
What's your gut tell you? First half of the season, Alvin and Miller are healthy. Give me what's Alvin's rushing total and what's Miller's rushing total in an average game.
I'll just put it in a different way. Like, if you're asking me to place a bet on someone to be, if they have one 1,000-yard runner, let's say they have one. I'm putting my money on Kendra.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay,
Kamara versus Miller. More yards. More rushing yards this season.
I think it'll be Kendra.
Right,
I think
I'll take them, Alvin. Let's make that our first board. We don't have a board.
I think they want. I think they want it to be.
And sure.
And I think if it's not, like, you have a problem. Like, you wasted a pick. Like, if Kendra isn't able to do that, I think you should be disappointed in that pick at that point.
No, I agree with all that. And I agree that I'm buying stock in Kendra Miller right now. I keep mentioning him as especially fantasy and dynasty. I think we're a year away from maybe Kamara and Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill all not even being on this team, and Kendra being a very clear number one running back. But I'm thinking a little bit more like Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. Even when Ezekiel started to wear down, I still feel like it's Kamara first, Miller second, especially because Miller has injury questions. He's young. He's going to have to learn the offense.
That's a practical answer.
I think they ease him in a little bit. I feel like we're seeing 15 Kamara touches, 10 Miller touches is more what I'm envisioning. But I could definitely be wrong.
I think what you're saying is the practical answer. Yeah. Like, it's the one.
I like your bet too, though. I'll get in on your bet.
It's the one that like, you're betting on what you've seen versus what you haven't seen. And what we have seen from Kendra was disappointing last year, no doubt about it. The injuries were crazy. He had injuries going back to college. So I think it is a fair concern, but I just think that I think they want Kendra to take it. And man, when he practices, like, it sucks that we got to talk about practice because we haven't seen a ton of it in games a little bit, but when he practices, like, there is a clear difference in the level of juice between Kendra and everybody else at that position.
Poetry in motion. Now let's go to Taysom Hill over under 400.
I'm going to take under.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not under. I've said this a million times. As much as Kendre Miller excites us and what this offense could mean for Alvin Kamara and Kendre Miller, Taysom Hill averages 5.5 yards per carry when he runs. When they gave him 100 carries 2 years ago, he averaged 6 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. And that's behind a crappy offensive line and an unimaginative offense. So he dipped down to 401 yards last year. And taking the under on 400 means they're going to use him even less. And I think that would be a huge disappointment if these guys aren't creative enough to find those touches for Taysom Hill. But if it means the run game just works so well without him, then I guess that's a good thing. But I hope it's over. I really do. I think that's the best offensive – that's the best part of this offense that we've seen in recent years. And they just brought in an imaginative offense that's supposed to be good at creating holes for runners. So I hope he's still a big part of it. But, yeah, under is probably a safe bet. But It was 575 2 years ago. It was 401 last year. And to see that go down even further this year would be a disappointment, I think.
And then we have Jamal Williams over under 350.
Under.
Yeah. I mean, because of the names we said, there's not enough room for him. I think he gets the call if guys are injured. I mean, he had 1,066 2 years ago. He had 306 last year. But to go under 350 basically means you're expecting him to be just as useless as he was last year. And obviously the expectation for him in a vacuum has to be they barely used him last year. They practically moved him to fullback, and now they have a better running game that should all be good for Jamal Williams, but there's just not enough yards left over here.
We have the addition of Kubiak to the Saints, so how will he use other players like Rashid Shaheed in the backfield to get them some rushing yards? What do you think his probably will be?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see some stuff with you know, jet sweeps and all that stuff. I think there's definitely some interesting guys that they'll try to get involved in there in some, you know, big home run type plays, but I don't think it's going to be anything over the top or crazy. It's just going to be something that I think is mixed in as a wrinkle here and there. They don't have the Debo type player necessarily. I mean, some of that could be Taysom, but I don't think they have that really at wide receiver. So maybe a little bit. I mean, we saw some plays last year with Olave lining up in the backfield and coming out to catch passes. I mean, if you're going to do that stuff, you got to hand it off every now and then. I don't think that's something you want Chris Olave doing, but maybe I could see it with Shaheed here and there.
Mm. We're going to hit a quick break. Keep it locked right here to New Orleans Football.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. It is now time for the Hard High Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey segment. Nick, you tweeted last night some details about Ryan Ranchup's contract. A lot of people had a lot of follow-up questions asking, you know, is it a reality that he'll play or not? So kind of give us some more details on Ranchup's situation.
Oh, I don't think he's going to play. No, I don't. But, I mean, this is the stuff that's in his contract. He has a couple little incentives that basically allow him to make back the money that he gave up. And if he hits these, they would increase his 2025 salary, so $1 million for All-Pro. He also has a separate bonus specifically at left tackle, $1 million for All-Pro. That's been in his contract forever, just in case he ever got flipped back over to that side. It would just make up for the disproportionate nature of the payment between a right tackle and a left tackle. So that was just something that his agent got into his contract, but that doesn't come into play. Then there's a bunch of different incentives, but if he gets all of them for playtime, they equal up to $6 million, but there's various thresholds. So it's like $1.5 million for 55% and $1.5 million for this percent and $1.5 million. Add it all together, it's up to 90%, $6 million. And then he gets another million if he plays 90% of the snaps and they win a playoff game, and $1 million if he makes the initial Pro Bowl roster. So add it all together, a maximum of $9 million. But no, I don't think he's going to play this season. I don't think he's going to play next season. I don't think he's going to play the season after that. You're asking me today. I don't think that we ever see Ryan Ramczyk play football again. It's just not something I'm expecting. Now, you know, that's what I'm expecting, but you know, you hope for the best for him. You're like, maybe he proves everybody wrong. Maybe you know, all it takes is you know, people all the time get told, hey, like, you're not going to recover from this, and then they do, and it happens all the time. So maybe it does happen here, but I think what you're planning today, what your expectations are today, are that he's not going to play football again. And I think that their actions are already showing us that they're they're planning as if the same. They just drafted a right tackle. Now, Quagga could play on the left side as well, so it's not necessarily locked in. Ramchek could come back and flip to the left side if he needed to. That's a position he's played before. So there's nothing preventing it, but their actions are telling us the same thing, that they aren't expecting him back either. Their words are telling us they aren't expecting him back this season. People's eyes are telling them that Ryan Ramchek looks like a tight end right now with the amount of weight he's lost. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that's telling you right now that he's probably not going to play again. And they already said they don't expect him this season. So that tells you it's real, real bad. And if you want to get, you know, into the, you know, open up your third eye on the whole situation, like, his contract is basically set up to, like, here's $6.5 million or whatever it is. That's a guarantee, right?
That was already guaranteed.
Right. It's just like, take the money, hang out, please don't retire so that this doesn't screw our cap this year. And then make the decision after this season. So just collect all this money, chill, don't do anything, because it's going to ruin our cap. Absolutely. So the whole thing is like, he can't retire right now, but he could practically, he's around, he's at the facility. So like, he hasn't technically retired or anything like that.
They don't have a June 1st designation for retirements.
Yeah, there is. You can retire after that. But like, what benefit is that? Like, it's to their benefit if he doesn't retire this year. Right. He retires. It's even more beneficial if he retires next
June
year.
1st.
Yeah, and he could make even more money for doing that. They could throw him another $1 million or something to kind of do it that way. So it's in his benefit. It's in their benefit to not have a hasty decision. But I don't necessarily think that anybody's ready for that decision yet.
The main point here is that just because you had gotten some details of his contract, it doesn't mean anything. With his situation change, our expectations are the same. Also, while we're on the subject of their finances, June 1st is coming soon. But just a reminder, they're barely going to see anything with Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston on June 1st because they already cut down their salaries to the league minimum. They will save only about $800,000 in cap space on June 1st with those guys. The main benefit for them is that they were able to push all their dead money back to next year. So they'll get $800,000 in savings, and then we're going to start to see rookies come in and sign their contracts when they come in for rookie minicamp this week. That's going to add about $3.2 million to their cap this year once they add all those draft picks in. Currently, they're about $8 to $9 million under the cap. You add that together, they'll be, you know, $6 million under the cap once the entire rookie class is signed and they get those June 1st benefits.
Man, it's that narrow, huh? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wow, they're living tight, but that's enough money. Nah, they kind of need a little bit more, like
more than $6 million.
They could use a little bit
of the season.
Yeah, just a little bit for that op. $6 million is a tight budget. I mean, that could kind of give you, I guess, if you're going league minimum players, about 12 guys, and then prorations at different points. So it's enough, but it's tight. It's a tight operating budget.
There's room to restructure a couple guys if they ever need.
Yeah, if they need to, there's definitely. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're okay. They're in good shape.
Now it's time for our Martin's Question of the Day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel-select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Today's question comes from Caleb Jackson. He asks, since it looks like the Saints are keeping all of the corners, would you consider moving Alante to safety since that's what some people originally thought he should play coming out of college?
I'm going to say no. I mean, I think if somebody gets moved, I think it's probably more likely Kool-Aid. I think Kool-Aid is probably the more likely guy to get moved to safety for a season. I don't necessarily think it's Alante's best spot. I'm not going to say no, though. Like, I think if you're going down that chart, he would be next there. But I think it's probably more likely the other way around.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to you on this because you've done a lot more film study on both players. My gut, though, I mean, I'm looking at it kind of the same way that probably the person asking the question is, which is, I think if you're lowest on the pecking order, you get moved. You know, I mean, moving Kool-Aid to safety when he's so enticing, both as a man coverage outside corner and a possible slot corner, I think moving him to safety would almost means he's finishing fourth. You know, like, I think if Alante's got no job, then you try to get creative. And in either case, we could be looking at either guy being the dime back when they have six guys on the field. But if you're talking like Jordan Howden gets hurt, Jonathan Abram's hurt, and you need a starter for that particular week, I think it's whoever the odd man out is.
I think the way I'm looking at it is if they come in and Alante's balling out during camp, you get Kool-Aid on the field, it's safety. I think if Kool-Aid wins the slot job, then somebody else is playing safety that isn't listed as a cornerback.
So I just don't see it as a possibility for Alante.
I'm not seeing it that way. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that's how it would play out. But I mean, definitely could be wrong. I mean, it's just kind of my gut feeling on it is that that would probably
go. Out of curiosity, because I do remember there being some, I think a couple of scouting reports. It was not how the Saints were talking when they drafted Alante Taylor, but it was on some college scouting reports. What is it you've seen from Alante that doesn't make him feel like that could be new life for him?
I think Alante's mindset is that he's an outside cornerback.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of it. I mean, I think the safety thing with Alante is because, like, when he's sitting back, he crashes down really well, and I think people saw that, and that's kind of the trait. But I think Alante's mindset is that he is an outside cornerback. He will play inside cornerback, but he is an outside cornerback. When he goes home and he looks at the playbook and he's thinking about himself as a football player, he's an outside cornerback, and I think that's kind of how he views the game.
For sure. For our live viewers on the website, we thank y'all for y'all continued support. And for those who aren't subscribed to the site yet, what are you doing? NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Catch you next time.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.